WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 62 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly mostly sunny today with a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at Atlantic. Officials at Atlantic Municipal Utilities, or AMU, say residents in the community may have noticed AMU crews installing fiber optic cable around town. Matt Klein, AMU Information Technology Coordinator, said the project has been in the work for months and installation began this spring. The fiber optic project consists of placing fiber optic cable from the power plant and control center located near the intersection of Pine and 3rd Street to AMU's main office on West 3rd. The special cable is also being installed to the substation and water tower on 22nd Street, thereby providing a direct data connection to a majority of the utility's facilities. The cable is being installed to allow AMU to control and monitor equipment, which should improve their reliability and increase responsiveness to AMU's customers. And they say it will allow a high-speed data connection to the 22nd Street water tower area. Klein says in the near future, AMU plans to begin installing smart meters to certain parts of their service area as part of a pilot project that's currently being partially funded by the U.S. Department of Energy. The data connection, the smart meter program, will allow AMU to obtain meter readings from homes that have installed those remotely from their office and obtain real-time data from the electric meter. Klein says having a fiber optic connection to those locations will allow them to provide reliable high-speed internet service between all of AMU's facilities. Previously, AMU utilized a private wireless internet network to provide internet connections from the main office to the water plant, power plant, and control center. The connection will also allow AMU to back up large data files located in one facility to a server located in another facility. By doing that, Klein says they hope to greatly improve their ability to recover data from anywhere from a minor event to a major catastrophe. News time is 8:02.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a 6-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Officials of the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, in Kansas City, Kansas, on Thursday announced that Iowa Western Community College has been selected to receive $200,000 in workforce development and Brownfields job training funds from the EPA to train unemployed and underemployed residents in Council Bluffs and Omaha. Iowa Western is one of only 15 workforce development organizations in the nation to receive the funding this year. Its project will specifically serve residents of the environmentally impacted neighborhoods of the South Main Brownfields site in Council Bluffs and Northeast Omaha. Targeted populations include trade adjustment assistance individuals displaced from their jobs due to the competition of foreign imports or due to work activity moving out of the U.S., unemployed and underemployed individuals, with priorities given to veterans, long-term unemployed, residents of the identified contaminated communities, and populations underrepresented in the green and environmental fields, including minorities and women. Iowa Western plans to train 100 students, place 80 graduates in jobs, and track graduates for 1 year. The core training program includes 152 hours of instruction on hazardous materials, lead and asbestos abatement, stormwater management, underground storage tank leak prevention, construction debris recycling, green remediation, and environmental health and safety. Participants will also be offered additional training in OSHA construction and mold contractor remediation. The EPA's annual Environmental Workforce Development and Brownfields Job Training Grants allow nonprofit and other organizations to recruit, train, and place predominantly low-income and minority, underemployed or unemployed people living in areas affected by solid and hazardous waste. The typical applicants include community colleges, universities, vocational technical colleges, workforce development organizations, nonprofit organizations, and others with an interest in the program. Nationwide, as of January, approximately 10,275 individuals have completed training, and 7,155 have been placed in full-time employment in the environmental field, with an average starting wage of just over $14 an hour. Ann Pross, the director of Iowa Western Community College's Cass County Center, says applications are currently being accepted for nursing scholarships being offered by the Don and Lois Sontag Endowment Fund. All students from Atlantic and surrounding communities are encouraged to apply for the available funds. The actual amount awarded to each student will depend on the number of qualified applicants. Applications can be found on Iowa Western's website, which there's a link to under this story on our website at KJAN.com, and must be received by July the 6th. Iowa Western officials will make the final determination of who is qualified for the scholarships based on need and certain scholarship criteria. All funds from the effort will be used only for those students enrolled in nursing prerequisite courses or the nursing program. In addition, the Sontag Endowment Fund is offering a challenge grant of up to $5,000 for matching funds to benefit students attending Iowa Western Community College. The Atlantic couple has already committed $2,500 to nursing scholarships, and a gift from Pat McCurdy brings the current scholarship total to $3,500. Additional funds are still being accepted to match the $5,000 challenge and have $10,000 available for area students who are pursuing a career in nursing. Matching funds under the endowment program can be in any amount and should be submitted directly to Iowa Western Community College Foundation, a 501c3 tax-deductible entity. For more information, you can contact Don Sontag at 712-249-1906 or Ann Pross at Iowa Western Community College in Atlantic at 712-243-5527. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has awarded $8.3 million in contracts to restore the navigation channel along a nearly 120-mile stretch of the Missouri River in Iowa and Nebraska affected by last summer's historic flooding. The course of the project is to repair a 300-foot-wide by 9-foot-deep channel between Sioux City, Iowa and Rulo, Nebraska. Dikes and other rock foundations are used to create the channel and prevent erosion along the bank. Many of them were damaged by the high water last year. The repairs will take about 250,000 tons of rock and will involve cranes operating from barges. The project is being conducted in two sections, from Sioux City to Fort Calhoun, Nebraska, and from Fort Calhoun to Rulo. Work is to begin within the week and be completed by September of next year. Omaha Public Power District, or OPPD, officials remain confident in their plan to improve the Fort Calhoun nuclear power plant, and they disagree with an environmental group's petition to revoke the plant's license. OPPD spokesman Jeff Hansen said Thursday that the utility believes the nuclear power plant located 20 miles north of Omaha is safe. The utility also says the plant is an important part of its power-generating portfolio. The Sierra Club of Iowa had filed a formal petition with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission on Thursday, asking regulators to revoke Fort Calhoun's license. Dave Lockbaum, the nuclear safety director at the advocacy group Union of Concerned Scientists, says the NRC probably receives a similar petition about once a month. Most of the petitions are denied, but he said they can force changes at nuclear plants. Nebraska Congressman Adrian Smith is co-sponsoring a measure to stop the Federal Environmental Protection Agency's aerial surveillance of agriculture operations which have taken place in Nebraska and neighboring states, such as Iowa. The measure is similar to one introduced in the Senate last week by Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns. Smith, a Republican representing Nebraska's vast 3rd House District, said the EPA's aerial surveillance program raises questions about the privacy and property rights of America's agricultural producers. The EPA has defended the 10-year practice as a cost-effective way for the agency to monitor animal feedlots that may be polluting water. And finally, in Western Iowa news, two men face felony charges for allegedly vandalizing a memorial to the 1989 crash of United Airlines Flight 232 in Sioux City. Scott Colson of Lehigh and Felipe Sebastian, both of South Sioux City, Nebraska, are suspected of pushing over a boulder at the memorial at a park early Wednesday. Both have been charged with criminal mischief. The city says it will cost $3,000 to replace the cracked boulder. It's one of eight leading up to a statue commemorating the accident. United Flight 232 was en route from Denver to Chicago when it crashed at the Sioux City Airport, killing 112 people. KJN, taking a look at the world headlines at this hour. The jury in the Jerry Sandusky trial continues its deliberations this morning over whether the former Penn State assistant football coach sexually abused 10 boys over a 15-year period. As jurors began pondering Sandusky's fate yesterday, one of Sandusky's adopted sons came forward for the first time to say that his father had abused him. Also in the news, an injured climber on Mount Rainier is awaiting with park rangers for a storm to clear so she can be rescued from a more than 14,000-foot peak. Three fellow climbers, who were also injured when they fell into a glacier, were rescued by a helicopter yesterday. A ranger helping with the rescue was killed when he slid more than 3,000 feet to his death. News time is 8:10.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a 6-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in the funeral announcements, Alden Red Lorimore, age 93, a resident of the Winterset Care Center South, died Monday. Funeral services for Red Lorimore will be held today at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Isaac Ike Quintero, age 56, of Atlantic and formerly of Shelby, died Sunday at the Cascali Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Ike Quintero will be held tonight at 7 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Ronald Zeich, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. No services are planned, but a visitation for Ronald Zeich will be held Saturday from 10 until 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic, with his family present. That's a check of the news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.